Amen. Now, for our Bible readings, we're going to turn first to the book of Romans and then secondly to the Gospel of Matthew. You'll see these passages on your sheet along with the respective page numbers. Let us turn first to page 1144 and to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. We begin reading at verse 22 and we read to the end of the chapter. Romans 15, verses 22 to 33. Let us give thanks to God for this portion of his word, and let us express our thanks by listening to him speaking to us from it. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I've enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in the spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in their material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. For our second Bible reading, we turn to page 993, Matthew chapter 18, and we shall read together verses 21 through to the end of the chapter, verse 35. Matthew 18, beginning to read at verse 21. Let us now hear this portion of God's word. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us turn together, please, to page 1144 in our church Bibles. Let us turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, and we want to turn together to the 22nd verse of that chapter. Last week we looked together at verses 30 to 33, and we said on that occasion we were jumping over verses 22 through to 29 because verses 30 to 33 were deemed to be apposite for Remembrance Day. So we now turn back to those verses that we skipped over last week, to verses 22 and following of Romans chapter 15. Let us now ask God for his blessing. Father, how we thank you for the example of the psalmist of old, that young man who delighted in all that you say, who rejoiced in your words, in your commands, in your precepts, in your truth. How we thank you, Lord, for the example of his commitment to never neglecting your word. Lord, may we learn from that example, and may that be the desire of each of our own hearts, that we would never neglect your word, but always use opportunities provided for us in the church and which we make for ourselves in our homes to hear your word so that we might grow more like Jesus and thereby be more useful in your service. Oh, hear our prayer, Lord, and grant these our petitions as we meditate upon your word in these moments. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we've already noted that in this portion of the letter, the Apostle Paul is speaking autobiographically. He's telling us about himself. In the earlier chapters, he has reminded the believers in Rome of the content of the good news of God to undeserving sinners. He has reminded them of the gospel of God. And now he's talking about what he's been up to, what he's been doing, what he plans to do. Although Paul speaks personally, neither you nor I should imagine there aren't lessons here for the people of God in every single generation. And I want to say in these moments, surely in these verses, you and I get a picture of church life. You and I get a picture of how believers are to behave. You and I therefore get a picture of the concerns and the actions and the attitudes that you and I should have for ourselves. We're going to focus on three matters in particular. First of all, we're going to see that Christians enjoy each other's company. Secondly, we're going to see that Christians are those who care for each other. And thirdly, we're going to see that Christians are those who want to know the Lord richly using them. Christians are those then, first of all, who enjoy each other's company. What is the Apostle Paul talking about in these verses? He's talking about visiting Rome. It's not the only thing he talks about, but this is what he's talking about at the beginning of this passage. He's told us in the preceding verses of this chapter that he is longing to come to see them. And he has explained to them, there's been a delay. I've had this desire in my heart for some while, but there's been a delay because the Lord has kept me busy in doing what needed to be done elsewhere. He's been busy in Corinth. This letter was written by Paul from Corinth to the church in Rome. But he's longing to come to see them. Look at what he says in verse 23. We'll start at verse 22 so we get the context. This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. That's because God has kept me busy elsewhere. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, he's talking about modern day Greece, as we would call it, in his day, southern Greece, Achaia, northern Greece, Macedonia. There's no longer any reason for me to stay here. And, this is the point I want you to note, since I've longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. So he's telling them, I'm en route to Spain. In fact, he's telling them, I'm en route to Spain from Corinth via Jerusalem and then to Rome, and then to Spain. That's what God's calling him to do, he's indicating. This is his desire. I hope to see you as I go on my journey towards Spain. But why does he want to go to them? Well, he indicates, doesn't he, in these verses, that this will fill him with joy. Go back to verse 24. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. Paul wasn't used by God in the founding of the church in Rome. But he knows there's a church there. He knows there's a church in the capital city of the Roman Empire. And he knows that in that church, there's a lot of non-Jews. We get an indication of that later on in this section, where he prays that God would protect him when he goes to Judea. And he recognizes that there in Judea, there will be Jews who are not happy with the good news of Jesus Christ. See what he says in verse 31, verse we looked at last week, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. He's making a distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles, and he knows that in Rome there's a lot of non-Jews. Well, he longs to go and see them. And what's his first desire, according to the end of verse 24, his first desire is that he may enjoy their company for a while. Believers are to enjoy each other's company. That's what God calls us to do. You think of family life when it's functioning well. We know there can be exceptions to the rule. We know that there can be troubles in families. We know that there can be fallings out between brothers and sisters, and even sadly sometimes between husbands and wives. But we also know that family life is designed by Almighty God and given to us by Almighty God to be a source of help and encouragement and comfort to us. Do you not enjoy seeing your siblings if you have them? Well, you may have left home years ago. Your brothers and sisters may be in all sorts of parts of the country, even some may be overseas. You don't see them often. But you do want to see them. You want to see your son, your daughter, your children. You get a special pleasure and joy out of seeing family, sharing with them. Well, we are to have pleasure in being with, in sharing with, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Paul the Apostle, who hasn't met these people, but he longs to see them. And he longs to see them that he might enjoy their company for a while. Now tell me, what's your attitude when a Lord's Day comes round? What's the thoughts in your mind as you wake up and come to in the earlier hours of a Lord's Day each week? Well, surely believers should be saying to themselves, oh, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're to rejoice and we're to be glad in it. This is a day when I can worship Almighty God, when I am to set the hours of this day aside for the worship of Almighty God. But I'm not called to do that by myself. I'm not just called to do that with my loved ones. I'm called to enjoy the Lord's day with the Lord's people. I'm called to enjoy hearing God's word. I'm called to enjoy singing God's praise. I'm called to enjoy calling upon God corporately with his people. I'm called to enjoy their company. And so surely early on a Lord's day, we should be saying to ourselves, oh, what a wonderful gift this is that Lord has given to us, when we can meet together to worship him together and to stir each other up to love and to good works. That's the sort of thought that the Apostle Paul had in his mind. There he is in Corinth, knows he's going to go to Jerusalem. Then he's hoping to come en route to Spain to see these brothers and sisters in Rome, that he might enjoy their company. That's one of the good gifts that God gives to his people, that his people can enjoy each other's company. You see, there's something wrong with us, my friends, if we don't enjoy meeting together. There's something wrong with us if we're not seeking, when we meet together, to encourage each other to know and love the Lord better and to enjoy the Lord more. That's what God calls us to do. That's how God calls believers to live. I'm not saying it's the only thing that believers are called to do, but surely the example of the Apostle Paul here points us to this responsibility that we have one to another. Don't neglect meeting together, is what the writer to the book of Hebrews can say, as some are in the habit of doing. No, meet together to encourage each other, to enjoy each other's company as you worship the Lord. The more we're focused upon the Lord Jesus, the closer we are to the Lord Jesus, the more God's people will enjoy each other's company. You see, the problems in churches arise when we're focused on ourselves, on our own hang-ups, on our own problems and our own difficulties, on our likes and dislikes and the like. When we focus on these things, things go wrong. Relationships get soured and difficult. No, the more we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we're filled with his Spirit, the more his word dwells in us richly, the more we know his love and his joy and his peace in our hearts, the more we will enjoy the company of his people. But the Apostle Paul, as well as indicating that he wants to enjoy their fellowship, also indicates that he is looking forward to being encouraged by them as he goes on his way from them, should God spare him and purpose it, to Spain. Go back a few words in verse 24. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I've enjoyed your company for a while. You see, he's speaking about two things there. I want to enjoy your company, but I want to be helped by you on that journey. Now that surely brings us to a consideration of the second thing that we said we could learn from these verses. It's the concern that Christians are to have in their hearts. What concerns are we to have? Well, two stand out in these verses. One is to help brothers and sisters in need, and the second is to help people come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is that we might help our brothers and sisters in need. Verse 25, at present, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. Why is he going to go to Jerusalem? You know, it's a shorter journey from Corinth to Italy and Rome than it is from Corinth back eastwards to the coast, Mediterranean coast of Israel, and then inland to Jerusalem, and then back to the coast and into a ship and on to Italy in the west, and then, should the Lord spare him, from Italy to Spain. It's a quick journey, a quicker journey, from Greece to Italy. But why is he going then? First of all, to Jerusalem, because they need help. They need help. There's been a terrible famine, and it's affected them. And you'll note, he speaks here in particular about the needy believers in Jerusalem. You see, we're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. Some people are wealthy, some people are poor. And he mentions the poor here. He says, for Macedonia, this is verse 26, and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Now, who's shown care for the needy Christians who are poor in Jerusalem? It's the peoples of God, the people of God in the churches of Macedonia, churches like Thessalonica and Philippi, and the churches of Achaia, churches in the Corinth area. It's those Christians who have said, yes, we've heard of the need of our brothers and sisters back there in Jerusalem. After all, it was in Jerusalem where the Lord Jesus taught and preached, as well as in the Galilee and Judean areas. Yes, he taught. And it's there he died and suffered for us. And there's a church there amongst Jewish people. Many Jews have come to faith. There's many who don't yet believe. Oh, but they're in need at this present. They're in need because of the physical circumstances that have afflicted so many in those days of famine and the like. And the believers have never even met these people. Believers in Thessalonica, Philippi, Corinth, have said, we must do what we can to help our brothers and sisters in need elsewhere. Believers are to care for each other. They're to be concerned for each other when needs arise amongst God's people. But then secondly, under this, our second heading, we're noting that believers are to be concerned for unbelievers. Go back to what we were saying a few moments ago. We sort of left it hanging, didn't we? He says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. How could the people of Rome help Paul as he moves on from Rome to Spain? Well, Paul knows what his responsibility is. What is his responsibility? It is to make known the glorious good news of what God has provided for undeserving sinners in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul knows that that message must be proclaimed not just to Jews, maybe to the Jew first, but it's also to the Gentiles. And there's non-Jews, and no doubt some Jews, also in Spain. They need to hear the glorious gospel of our God. So I want to come to you there in Rome, and I want to enjoy your company. And then I want to know you stirring me up afresh and helping me on my way to fulfill the task of making known the glorious gospel of God to peoples in this world. So what are Christians called to be like? Well, we're called to enjoy each other's company. But we're also called to be concerned for each other. To be concerned for each other materially. But to be concerned for each other spiritually. You see, we're to stir each other up to love and to good works. We're to be encouraging each other to go forward and onward in taking the glorious good news of Jesus Christ to other people. Yes, that's a responsibility that lies on your shoulders as much as it lies upon my shoulders. There may be some difference between us because of the functions and offices that ministers hold. But every believer is called to go out into the world and to spread abroad the fragrance of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And let's never forget, my friends, something of the fragrance of the gospel of Jesus is spread abroad by how we live, not just by what we say. Sometimes we think in terms of we must open our mouths and declare the gospel, and then we get ourselves all tied up in knots because we don't feel confident enough to talk up and out about the good news of the gospel. But never forget, my friends, the attitude of your heart, the way you live, it speaks volumes. The unbeliever can look at you and say, that person doesn't do what so many other people do. They don't swear like a trooper. They don't use bad language. They don't get angry and irritable. Well, they may be upset from time to time, but they don't fly off the handle like some other people. They're not selfish and mean, demanding that things go their way. They're ready to deny themselves. They're ready to go the extra mile. They're ready to go even more than an extra mile. What makes them like that? They're different to the ordinary folk of this world. You see, as we live for the Lord Jesus, people are witnessing our lives, our attitudes, our demeanor. They can see whether you're screwed up with your own problems. They can see whether you are just selfish and focusing on what you want, your pleasures, your interests. They can see whether you are concerned genuinely for people in need in the church and in the world. And they can see whether you're concerned that men and women and boys and girls might know the Lord Jesus. Come to love him and come to know forgiveness for sin and the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. I want you to help me on my way. Keep me focused. Encourage me. Pray for me. Support me. Yes, give me financial support for the journey, etc., if and as and when necessary. But above all, encourage me to have my heart and my affections focused on God, on his will, on his Christ, on his word. Thirdly, we read in this passage of scripture of what we're to care about, and it follows on from what we've just been saying. Yes, first of all, we're to be a people who enjoy each other's company. Yes, we're to be a people who a concern for each other and express that concern in practical ways. But we're also called to be a people who have one particular concern right at the centre of our thinking and of our hearts. What is that concern? And that is that when we visit and talk to each other and meet with other believers, and even with unbelievers, we will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. That's how verse 29 ends. Verse 28, when I therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, when I've gone to Jerusalem, given them the collection, I'll leave for Spain by way of you. I know, says the Apostle Paul. Now notice this language, my friends. I know. What does he know? And in particular, we're noticing what he knows about himself. I know I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Is Paul overstating things? Is Paul focusing on Paul the man rather than on Jesus Christ? Well, obviously he's talking about Paul the man. I will come. He's talking about himself. But you see, as soon as he's mentioned, I'm going to come to you, his attention is then focused on God. He knows what God is doing. He knows what God's purpose is. He knows what God's promised. And he knows what God will give. And so he's resting on God. He's resting on the promises and purposes of God. And as a result, he is able, using the language of faith, to declare and affirm, when I come among you, it'll not just be Paul the man that you see, but Paul the man who's been changed and transformed by Jesus Christ. Paul the man who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the man who knows the forgiveness for his sins. Paul the man who knows the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul the man who knows that God's got a purpose and a plan for him. Paul the man who knows that he's called to go out into the world and to tell Jews and non-Jews about the Lord Jesus. And he knows that he's Paul the man who is seeking at all times, by the enabling power of Jesus Christ living within him, to fulfill the ministry that he's called to fulfill. And so he can say, here's the language of faith, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Because when I come, I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm going to talk about Jesus. When I come, I'm going to see you, fellow believers. I'm going to enjoy your company as believers with you. I'm going to rejoice in the Saviour who's working out his glorious, wonderful purposes of calling men and women and boys and girls from every nation and ethnic grouping, language speaking group to himself. I'm going to be rejoicing in God and what he promises and in what he's doing. I'm going to be full of the blessings of Christ. Oh, do you not want to be like that, my friend? Do you not want to see the church like that, full of young and old alike, full of the blessings of Christ? See, when we come to church, we'll not be just talking about the weather or something else. Well, we may notice these things in passing, but we'll quickly move on to talk about Jesus and to encourage each other to love the Lord Jesus to worship the Lord Jesus, to know the Lord Jesus better. That's what we'll encourage each other to do when we meet together and come together in the fullness of the blessings of Christ. Oh, here was a man. Here was a man who knew what it was to turn to Jesus, to embrace Jesus by faith, to become a Christian. Yes, he was a Christian Jew, a man from a Jewish ethnic background who became a Christian, who knew the joy of being in Christ, who knew the joy of being united to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, because that's the only way that anybody can ever be united to Christ. And he knew that those united to Christ through faith are anointed with the Spirit of the living God. And they are anointed with the Spirit of the living God so that they, as they share with each other, can bring something of the fullness of the blessing of Christ to each other. So here we see a man who knew that believers are to enjoy each other's company. Here we see a man who knew that believers were to be concerned for the needy and for the unbelieving in the world. And here we see a man who had a passionate concern in his heart, namely, that he should be close to Jesus and used by Jesus and full of the Lord Jesus as he went around. That's what Christians are called to be. What a wonderful Saviour we have, who enables us to be like that. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, how we pray for forgiveness for our sins. We fail to walk with you, Lord, so often as we should. We get too preoccupied, oh Lord, with the pressures of life, the cares and worries of life. We get enticed by the cares of the world and the devil himself does what he can to distract us, to trip us up in your service. Have mercy upon us, Lord, we beseech of you. Enable us to learn from your word. Enable us to be filled with your Spirit. Enable us to let the word of God dwell in us richly. Enable us to know your truth. Oh, use us, Lord, to your glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing a delightful hymn.